Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. Now we continue to resume our examination of the book of Philippians. We'd actually looked at the first couple of verses of it, and we went back to Acts to see how the gospel came. You know, so often we think the gospel came into the cities and the towns and regions, whatever, and people came in and preached, and they either received it or didn't receive it, and everything was just happy, and everything was fine. What we find a lot of times, though, is resistance. We find abject hatred. We find it to such a degree that people wind up getting beat, like Paul did, like Silas did, like other people did. People died. And it continues to this day that such will occur. We've seen it in recent days in Sri Lanka, to where a group of people who were worshiping on Easter Sunday, Christians, were literally massacred, literally killed because they were worshiping. Of course, in our society, the powers that be called them Easter worshipers. Easter worshipers, the ones who had died. Rather, they won't even say the name Christian, which is really funny because, you know, Christian was a pejorative term to start with, which means little Christ. They were making fun of the Christians in Antioch, and they called them little Christ, and the name wound up sticking, and now it's not even mentioned. So anyway, it's far more occurs than we think, and you say, why is that? Well, we are in a battle, folks. And we're not in a battle against flesh and blood, but we're in a battle against principalities and things within the spiritual realm, within the unseen realm. These things are real, okay? They're just as real as anything we look at that we think is real, okay? They're real. That's where our battle is. And because of that, we need to understand that, you know, we really don't need to carry aught in our heart against any mankind. Somebody may do evil, okay? They may do evil against us. We hate that evil. They may desire to kill us, but we still need to pray. We still need to intercede. We still need to speak forth the truth. And so let's go to Philippians right now, because in the first chapter, the first verse, literally the subtitle of this book, when you do a study on it, is How to Have Joy. Paul is just radiating joy, which is all the more amazing when you consider what happened while he was there. So here's Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul is just pouring forth his heart, as we will see as we go through this, to these folks. He says, you know, I just thank God in my remembrance of you. I am remembering you. I think of you. Okay, you crossed my mind. I haven't forgotten you. And when I do think of you, I am thanking my God for you. And he says, I'm always offering prayer with joy. Now, sometimes people get snarky and all this kind of stuff. Well, how does he pray always? Doesn't he have to eat? Doesn't he have to sleep? That kind of foolishness and nonsense. No, what he's saying is that you are on my heart and you are on my mind. And we know what is meant by that. And he says, when that happens, I'm offering prayer to you, and I do it with joy. In every prayer that I pray for you all, I do so with joy. Now, remember what had happened. He was falsely accused. He was beaten with rods. He was in prison. They tried to get him out of town under, you know, where nobody would know what really happened here. Okay, and in the midst of all that, he still says joy. We don't think of that as joy at all. And he's speaking joy into their life. Well, then he tells us why. In verse 5, he said, in view of your participation in the gospel. And you can also translate that, in view of your sharing in the preaching of the gospel. Well, that gives a little nuance to it, doesn't it? See, he's rejoicing that not only did they believe, hey, not only did they receive, but they are now literally speaking forth and sharing the gospel. And they did so from the first day. You actually see it, you know, with the account we had in Acts, that they're there in town. Of course, they'd be sharing the gospel, but they went down to the river on the Sabbath, thinking and knowing that there would be people there praying. They encounter a group of women who are praying. They encounter Lydia, who was a businesswoman, a well-off businesswoman. You can just tell how she's described and what she did. A seller of purple. That's a high-end product, okay? And she believed, and she invited them to stay in her house. And so from the very beginning, from the first day, they were participating in the gospel. They were proclaiming the gospel. Then verse 6, Philippians 1, a verse that we're very familiar with, but is it not amazing how much more you receive when you know just a little bit about what the context is? Paul says this, "For I am..." Now, those three words right there are in italics. I'm looking at it right now on my computer screen. They're in italics, which means, okay, those words are not in the original Greek, okay? Excuse me, but they're placed here to where we will have understanding. You know, a lot of times when you translate from one language to another, there may be one word in the language, but it may take a phrase, several words to communicate the same idea in another language, okay? So he's saying this, "For I am confident of this very thing." So he's stating confident of this very thing, which wouldn't necessarily make sense to us unless we had that "for I am." He says, "I'm confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus." Now, Paul does this in a lot of his writings. Now, remember that he's being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, being led by the Holy Spirit, he's sitting down and he's writing. Now, this isn't automatic writing, okay? It isn't the type of stuff that you see. No, nothing like that. It's that wondrous mystery of how God brings forth in the Spirit and speaks to and through man, and man writes it out, and God says, you know, that right there is going to be considered to be holy writ. That's going to be holy scripture right there. So what's he saying here? He's saying, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, will perfect it," okay? Will perfect. Now, when we see perfect, it's the same thing. You know, you see it here. We've dealt with this a lot over in the book of Hebrews. We're studying Hebrews locally and online, which, by the way, if you live locally, you're welcome to come to any of our Bible studies. If you're online, you don't live around here, or if you do live locally, you can join us online. You can also go back and see back all the online classes at my website. You can go back and look at all those things. And you see this word perfect all the time. We see perfect, we automatically think the corollary that something is incomplete, that it lacks something. No, what he's saying is that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. The word literally means this, to accomplish it, to complete it. In other words, to bring it to perfection, to bring it to completion, to accomplish what he started. And so Paul was saying this to them, he's saying it to us, that the one who started a good work in you, the Most High God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, who now dwells within us, Father, Son, and Spirit, the one who started this work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Paul always, and I mean always, by yet most of the time, will say something about the day of the Lord, about the coming of the Lord, the day of Christ, about the day that we're waiting for, when all will be brought to fruition. He mentions it here. He actually is going to say it again down in the 10th verse. He mentions this day of the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, my time's running out. So be aware of this, folks, and live in this. Be confident of this, that the very one, if you're a true believer, the very one who began a good work in you is going to complete it. He's going to accomplish it, and he's going to do so up until the very day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you again next time.